My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
Are sanctions working if Russia is still profiting? Hello, and you're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report, live from the BBC World Service. I'm Leanna Byrne. Thanks so much for tuning in. But first, our top story. Moody's, the ratings agency, has downgraded China's government credit rating from stable to negative. It's worried about China not growing as much and its real estate market. China's finance ministry says it's disappointed about the decision. More on that story in our later programmes with David Brancaccio. A year ago today, the EU and G7 introduced sanctions to restrict Russian oil revenue to try to stop it from fueling the war in Ukraine. But as the BBC's Frey Lindsay has been finding out, oil money continues to flow into Russia.
Together with our partners, we stand united in our opposition to Russia's atrocious war.
Late last year, European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen announced an import ban on Russian oil to the EU and G7 that was supposed to limit the revenue Russia could use to finance its war in Ukraine. Fearing the impact to global markets of a full global ban, they imposed a price cap of $60 per barrel on oil shipped elsewhere in the world. This would be enforced by shipping service providers like insurers.
$60 per barrel is still very comfortable, but it is preventing Russia from reaping extraordinary windfall. So if Russia were to sell at 60 versus 70, it is the difference of about 17 billion.
That's Alina Rybakova, senior non-resident fellow with the Peterson Institute for International Economics. She, along with other Russia oil watchers, have been warning for some time that Russia is getting around that price cap by, for instance, using a shadow fleet of tankers run by operators outside the Western system.
It's using ships which are insured by either Russia or Indian or Chinese companies. And on the other hand, sometimes our own G7 providers of services are just not giving accurate attestations.
In some cases, it looks like banned Russian oil products could still be entering the EU, says Martin Vladimirov with the Center for the Study of Democracy think tank.
The EU provided a glaring loophole by giving Bulgaria the ability to continue importing Russian crude oil.
This exemption was originally granted to prevent energy shortages, but it is set to end in March. Martin tells me it's allowed Russian oil producers to get around the sanctions and price caps in various ways, such as relabeling oil products or transferring them from one ship to another. Alina Rybakova says various data clearly show circumvention measures are helping Russia claw back oil revenue.
If you look at Russia's revenues the last few months, it is as much as they used to get before the war.
Daniel Sheridan Ferry is a spokesperson at the European Commission.
I think the fact that circumvention is happening in the first place shows that our sanctions are working. The Kremlin are working hard to get around those sanctions. To get the supplies that they need has become harder, it's become slower, it's become more expensive. But I think there's no time for complacency. The EU, as well as their international partners, are working closely to make sure that our sanctions are properly implemented.
Alina Rybakova says EU sanctions need to effectively limit Russian oil revenue, because if they don't...
That means that Russia is getting enough government revenues to be able to buy and produce more missiles, rockets, armored vehicles, and then use that to attack Ukraine.
I'm the BBC's Frey Lindsay for Marketplace.
Now let's do the numbers. Shares in Virgin Galactic have dropped by an astronomical 17% after its founder, Sir Richard Branson, said he won't be putting more cash into the space tourism business. A former Tesla employee has told the BBC he believes the company's self-driving technology is not safe enough to be on public roads. Lukasz Krupski leaked data, including customer complaints about Tesla's braking and self-driving software, to the German media in May. Lukasz is in the UK this week to receive the Blueprint for Free Speech Award for deciding to blow the whistle at the company. Speaking to the BBC's technology editor, Zoe Kleinman, he describes the moment his dream job turned into a nightmare.
End of first quarter 2019, we're delivering. Tesla couldn't handle the volumes in their own locations, so what they did, they rented out exposition center in Lillestrøm, right next to Oslo. And in other hall, there was a motor show, about 14,000-17,000 people there. The car, which was parked right next to the curtains where the customers were on the outside, it caught fire. I literally felt the blast heat on my neck and back, and I just turned around and I tried to flick off the source of the fire, the booster, which was already melting and burning and dripping inside. And it worked, at least that part. But then the car was already on fire. The harnesses, the plastic trim, the foams, the components, coolant hoses even melted. So I don't know how much time we had, but it made a difference. I used the rugs, my hands over the sleeves to suffocate it, and then it worked. And even fire alarms didn't kick in, so no massive PR disaster and evacuation of thousands of people. Yeah.
And you got a personal email from Elon Musk.
I did,
to say thank you. How did that feel?
I felt appreciated. Since then, things started to go south. And then I came back after Easter to work, and the first thing, my manager took me to a meeting where he said that I cannot see future for you in Tesla. I tried to know what's happening. He started asking me about my previous jobs. I was just shocked, paralyzed. My colleague said that you should get a lawyer, you're gonna get fired. And I did, communicated what happened. We submitted proper notification to HR. I started receiving warnings with false information. I tried to rectify it because I loved my job. I thought it's local in misunderstanding.
What you sent to the US authorities was about the safety of Tesla
related
cars,
yes,
and your concerns. Did you report internally to Tesla that the data security was poor?
At that point, I didn't have reasons to trust. After what happened to me, I decided that I have no reasons to trust that this time it will be different.
That was Lukasz Krupski speaking to Zoe Kleinman. Tesla has declined to comment. And that's actually not our only Tesla story. Its ongoing dispute with Swedish unions has ramped up, with a Danish union getting involved and stopping bringing Tesla cars over the border to Sweden. Since October, Swedish unions have been pushing Tesla to sign collective bargaining agreements with mechanics. And that's it from the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. Our producer today was Liz Mai. Our editor is Joe Critcher. And I'm Leanna Byrne. Have a great day and thanks for listening.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.